Pastor for a number of years. I worked at this camp a long time ago. Met my wife there. I most recently was down in Virginia. A little bit warmer down there, but was there. Worked for a nonprofit. Worked at Liberty University. Different things like that. And ended up back up here at camp. And there's been a lot of things happening at camp. So I'm going to go through a few of those things as we go. But I also have a little bit of a message for you. So one of the things with camp is it's not just a place for campers to come to know Christ, although that's our primary goal. It's not just a place to hang out. It's a place to really develop and disciple believers. And for that goal, we started an internship program. So let me see if I can activate this here. But we have an internship program that's brand new this year. And what we do is we take a couple of guys and a couple of girls that are kind of young adults figuring out, you know, their next steps in life, kind of that gap year time right after high school and when college begins. And they learn life skills. They learn everything they can about camp and that type of ministry. They go through the Bible and get instruction that way, and just a lot of great things. And of course, they work real hard. But these kids, some of them, they're currently in college taking online classes, or you know, kind of doing things on the side and ministries on the side as well. I'm just going to go through a couple pictures here. So we've got them kind of learning things in the kitchen, you know, having a good time, kind of figuring some of these things out, being taught that. They put up these racks and decided to take a silly picture and take a nap. We've got them doing painting, winterizing the bathrooms, goofing off with the youth group, working with the horses, just kind of hanging out. We do field trips and that sort of thing as well when they when it calls for it. Doing Bible study, planning things out, doing work. Getting just skill sets that they didn't have before, whether it's learning different activities and getting certified in different things, you know, all kinds of different projects. Here we were just kind of goofing off that day after we did a bunch of work. And they're got chainsaw safety classes, you know, all kinds of different things, you know, projects and different things all around camp. But the important thing is we're discipling future Christian leaders. Now, the program, what we do is after summer camp is over, we take these young adults and we bring them in, and they live at camp and they do everything. We recently went down to Virginia for a recruiting session. And some of these kids had never really even left Maine before, let alone in a pandemic. So they got to travel. We drove through, you know, New York City. We didn't stop, but they got to see all kinds of things. See a Christian school in another state, get to talk to all these different ministries, camps. You know, the amount that these kids are learning is phenomenal. Had it not been COVID, you know, there'd be a lot more that these kids would be doing with younger kids too. But camp is investing year-round in our future Christian leaders, and in turn, going to be able to do more and more with the local kids and getting them prepped for that. They've been working really hard doing renovations, upgrading all the activities, all of that for the whole purpose of sharing the gospel and really reaching these kids in this time. So, the thing about camp is it's a little different than other ministries. We get kids that don't normally come into church. We get kids that their parents are either indifferent, maybe grandma and grandpa sent them. We have some kids that come whose parents are in jail, and you know, a benevolent person basically covered their costs to go to camp and they hear about Christ. We had one child that would have been homeless all summer long had he not been at camp. And now, you know, them and their family are kind of on a better track, and they're still involved, you know, to this day. That was a few years ago. This past summer, we had a child that just got placed into a new foster home a few days before attending our kind of adventure camps. So we didn't do overnight camp this past summer, but we did day camp. And this kiddo, their first day, they wouldn't even set down their bag because they were worried that someone would steal their stuff, kids and adults. That's the mindset that they had. By the end of the summer, they did 4 weeks total, this kid. They were swimming in the water, making little bracelets for other kids, just full of joy, singing hymns, you know, and that's the type of stuff that we can do. Now, at camp, we only have the kids for about a week on average, and it's very important that we share the gospel. But the camp environment lets us do things a little bit differently than they would hear at like a concert or a church service or, you know, maybe even an event at school, because they're in nature. And I like to kind of tell the kids this and explain this during the week, as long as we have the time. I really like to go through and explain what God intended for all of us and where we're at now. So God has always had a plan for us from the very beginning. Even though he knew we were going to sin and mess everything up, he had a plan for us. Genesis was written for the early Israelites, and it helps us understand God too. So these are things that I explain to the kids, right? Book of Genesis, written by Moses, was for the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt. They had been slaves. They didn't really have their culture set up yet. They didn't really know their God very well. And Moses was teaching them and giving them all the information from the very beginning. So, Genesis 1:31. Then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So God makes this perfect world to put people in. And then inside that perfect world, he made an even more special place that was the Garden of Eden, right? Just for people to be able to relax and have an actual relationship with God, walking with God, talking with God. Now, in that perfect world, there were no bugs that bit. There was no cold. Today's a beautiful day. Tuesday, not going to be so nice. There was no disease. They wouldn't be wearing the masks and the fear that's going around with COVID. Even the animals were nice. So we've got kids at camp, and they're out there in our outdoor chapel. They're kind of tired from, you know, all the fun that they had in the day. Maybe they went tubing on the lake or horseback riding or hiking, whatever it is. And they're sitting there and they're kind of relaxing. They've got food in their stomach and water's nice and quiet. You know, sun's starting to go down. And it's kind of the nice times. But still, there might be a mosquito in their ear or pine sap stuck on their hand or whatever. And you tell them about all these things and that God had such a beautiful place made for them. They really think about that and they kind of can picture it and realize these things. So the most important thing is not just that everything was nice and beautiful and you could walk up and pick food and eat it, but that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God. That was the most important thing about the Garden of Eden, the relationship that God had with people. But as we all know, sin destroyed that relationship. Genesis 2:16 through 17 goes over the rule about not eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, we know what happens. Satan, you know, deceives Adam and Eve, and, you know, the rest is history, right? Everything kind of went downhill from there. Then we're given the need to cover sin. Adam and Eve tried to cover their own sin, right, with fig leaves. Did that work? You know, of course not. The price of sin is death. God used animal skins to cover Adam and Eve. That was a symbol for what Jesus needed to do, that death needed to pay the price for sin, right? There was a way, and ultimately Jesus would be that way, but the sacrifices were a symbol, right? Nowadays, you go to the store and, you know, you get chicken nuggets. You don't see kind of the, you know, the whole process that got there, but these people, you know, dealing with sin, they saw it firsthand, and it makes it more serious. You know, you see the consequence for that sin. Something has to die. And the biggest problem with the sin was not just the curses that that came, you know, to the world that, you know, now there's biting bugs and thorns and thistles and, you know, pain during childbirth and all of those things. The biggest problem was our relationship with God was broken. Now, at this point, I usually ask the kids something to the effect of, you know, when's the last time you did something wrong and you knew an adult, a parent, you know, grandma, mom and dad, whatever, was going to find out about it? And there was some time that you had to think about it before they found out. How did you feel? And, you know, usually I could see kind of their faces change, you know, and that look on them like, oh. And we all know that feeling, that guilty feeling. And that drives us apart from God, right? When people reject us as Christians, they're really rejecting God. When people feel uncomfortable about, you know, the truth, they're feeling uncomfortable before God, right? People have that guilt and that sin driving a wedge between their relationship with God. We've all sinned, right? How do we get our sins forgiven? We believe in Jesus, right? So I asked the kids, how were sins forgiven before Jesus? And some of them know, some of them don't know. But we talk about, you know, the rules in the temple and, you know, having to do a sacrifice, but also believe that a Messiah was going to come. Now you get to the New Testament after Jesus, and I'll read through this. Romans 3:21 through 26. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. For he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Kind of sums it all up right there, right? So we get the kids in nature. They're enjoying it. They're having a good time. They get the camaraderie of other Christians. You know, the counselors are there. You know, we're worshiping God together. We're having a good time. And it really opens up their hearts. How crazy is the world that we live in now? You know, these poor kids. I've got my own children, and it's tough, you know. I didn't have to deal with all of the social media, you know, when I was growing up. You know, I'm sure there'd be lots of embarrassing pictures of me, you know, growing up in situations. You've got all this pressure from, you know, music and movies and everything, trying to tell people how to live and tell people that, you know, the Bible's wrong and all these things. Yet God is sitting there, you know, quiet and just waiting and wanting that relationship to be restored. And a lot of times at camp, you know, we can break through and do that. The number of kids that come to a deciding decision for Christ at places like camp in that environment is usually at least 30% higher than most other venues like conferences and even youth groups. I was a youth pastor, even those situations. There's something about being out in nature, getting that fresh air, the sunshine, you know, the outdoors, all of those things that really just kind of puts people away from all the stress of the world and right into God's creation, and they open up. And that's why, I mean, given just all the challenges that are going on, as soon as we leave the property at camp, you know, we're in a mission field. You know, it starts right there. And we bring these kids into this haven, this fair haven, away from all that stress, and it just really opens them up. You can see that weight lifted. We've all sinned. Everybody's sinned. And people know it. You know, you don't have to point it out. We all know we're sinners. And we know why we need Jesus. Because we messed up. He had everything perfect. He loved us. And we messed it up. And the only way to get things back is to redeem that relationship. And he's offered the way and we just have to accept it. Jesus repairs that broken relationship and pays the price for our sin. All that weight, all that guilt can go away, and instead you can go back to loving God the way that He intended. So again, camp ministry, right? We don't teach, everything in a week to these kids, but we give them that gospel message. We give them a break from all the crud that they deal with in their real lives. There's so many kids that we minister to that you wouldn't believe what they have to go through, at home. And they get to camp, and it's like just seeing that weight lifted off them before they even accept Christ, and it paves the way to that, just seeing that peace that comes about them. We teach that love, we show that love, we live that, and these kids, come away with eternal impact. It doesn't stop. And this is a picture at camp, one of many. I could just put, hundreds of beautiful pictures of the property. And, it's just a good setting to kind of give those truths to those kids. It really opens up their hearts, opens up their minds. Now, some of the kids, I get to kind of talk to people, that have been impacted by camp over the years. Talked to a lot of people that were impacted by John Doak and, his ministry. And then there was people like Roger Torrey that were there and people before them that have been involved with this camp and other camps. In fact, one time my aunt, who's from California, was on an airplane in the middle of the country and got on a plane and sat next to someone. And somehow the conversation of the camp came up. I think she had like a shirt or something that I'd given her from camp, and they saw it, and they had gotten saved at Fairhaven Camps, this random person on a plane, right? We've had kids from China that never get to hear anything, about the gospel. They get to hear that. Not even just the kids, but those kids need chaperones, and those are adults that get to come in and see people praising God and being happy and, a completely different life than what they're used to. We've had kids from private schools that are from all over the world come in just to use the facility, and they get a piece of that. We've got the internship program going on where these kids are involved in their churches, they're running youth groups, they're really the next Christian leaders, whether they end up staying at Fairhaven Camps or get moved, wherever God, puts them. These kids are, the next to be missionaries and impact things. And this is all right in your backyard that you support. It's just amazing what God is doing right here in our own backyard. Now, some of the things that we're trying to do with COVID at camp is it does impact things. Obviously, we don't want people, getting sick, bringing the virus home. Generally speaking, under a certain age, there hasn't been a significant amount of children getting sick. In Maine, last summer, there were no cases at any summer camps. Hopefully this summer, that continues, but we've got more vaccines coming out. Kids are more used to having to wear masks at certain times, all of those types of things. But we're doing as much as we can in the downtime at camp. One of the new ministries that I'm excited about, and we're just ready to launch this next week, is a resource library or closet for foster families. So a lot of times people will get a emergency placement for foster kids, and it'd be like a Friday night, 6 o'clock, hey, can you take little Jimmy, he's in, second grade, and he needs a place to stay this weekend. And of course, the foster families, they're willing, but they don't always have toys and clothes and, furniture that the kids need, cribs, all that kind of stuff. So we're putting together this resource library. Now, in addition to that, I've been working with people that were foster kids themselves that are now adults, and they remember what it was like to get moved from home to home, to only have like a little garbage bag to carry all their stuff. And so we're putting together little backpacks, little bags that have goodies in them, things like snacks, maybe a toy like Legos or some other toy, some things that are just their own, their own basic supplies, toothbrush, toothpaste, we'll throw all that in there. The kids don't care about that, but it's good for them. And most importantly, putting information about how much Jesus loves them, right in the bag. You know, keep it simple. You know, kids don't like to read all the time, but if they're getting, you know, this bag of goodies, they're going to check it out and get an invitation to come to camp where we can do, you know, the real work and the real ministry. We've got Bibles that we give out to the kids. So when they get saved at camp, we don't just say, you know, good luck and send them out in the world. They get a Bible, and in there is information on local churches in their community. So we list out the churches in the different towns so they can find one and get plugged into church. And it gives them information about kind of what the next steps are after they get saved. These are all things that are happening right in your backyard. So we don't have to go halfway around the world to do missions. We can and we should, but we can also do it right here. And in fact, instead of us going to China, things like camp bring, you know, people here. We, if COVID hadn't hit, you know, this summer will be different. They're not going to be coming this summer. But we had planned on not just kids from China, but there was going to be kids from Italy and Russia as well coming to camp that don't really hear those things in their culture. I have a friend that was a missionary in London, and, you know, you'd think Europe, you know, and in London, you know, they'd have, you know, the gospel, and they really don't. The churches are dead over there, you know, but these are things that we can do here, and we can teach here, and they can live it and just enjoy the beautiful nature while they're doing it. So many things are happening at camp. Now, you all have been, you know, supporters of camp. I would love to have anyone who wants to, you know, come out for different tours. I'm going to be in the back after this and give you my card, you know, information. Ask me questions, you know, come check out camp. There'll be, you know, more information. We're going to be rebuilding the gymnasium, doing some other upgrades and different things. You know, all of that is cool and exciting, but at the end of the day, it's all about the people and the souls and reaching everyone. So I'm excited about what's happening. You know, the internship program, you know, this foster library. We're going to be doing some family camps this summer. We've got regular camp that's going to be happening. You know, I'm always looking for volunteers. You know, we need, you know, we're always looking for nurses to volunteer. We need people to work in the kitchen, people to work with the kids. And we have a good time. We work hard, and we're really doing things for the Lord. So I have a video that we'll play in just a minute. And this is about, you know, supporting camp. Now, how many of you ever went to camp, any camp, as a kid? Hopefully you had a good time. I've been blessed. I've got to go to a number of different camps as a child and as a teenager and adult, depending on where I was at. I did some when I was in college as part of my classes, things like that. But it's just a blast for these kids. They just really have a good time, and they develop, you know, this family that just sticks with them for the rest of their lives. Now, we raise money for scholarships. A large number of kids don't have the support system that they need to go to camp. Our prices, we try to keep it like as low as possible. You know, it costs, you know, just the insurance alone is like $35,000 a year for camp. You know, that doesn't include, you know, just so many other expenses. It costs money to do this, and we have a lot of things at this camp that, you know, aren't at some other camps. Like doing the horses costs extra money, doing the boating, you know, doing the ropes course, you know, there's certifications and all these different things. But we try to keep it just super, super affordable for kids to go. But there's still, you know, a lot of kids that just can't afford that. You know, if I had more than two kids, I don't think I could afford to send my kids to camp. So we raise a lot of money for scholarships. If God's put that on your heart, right now I have someone that donated $10,000up to that for a match. So over the next couple months, I'm trying to get another $10,000 to really fill out, you know, our scholarships. And we use that all up every single year. And that's for both our SALT program, which is teaching the kind of the teenagers how to be counselors and just how to mature and grow, but that it's also for our horse camps, our regular camps, you know, all of that. So if that's something that God puts on your heart, you know, think about that. It's about $30 a month to send a kid to camp, you know, full scholarship. And we do partial ones and all that too. If you know someone that really wants to go to camp, have them, you know, reach out to us. You know, the last thing we want to do is not have a kid go because they can't afford it. You know, we'll move heaven and earth to get these things done. But that's one way that you guys can get involved. You know, pray for us. You know, prayer is always appreciated. And just pop in, you know. I'll give you my phone number. You know, come and I'd love to show you guys around just so you can see what's happening in your own backyard. And maybe you just are having a bad week, you know, and life's not treating you that good. Come out to camp and see what God's doing, and I guarantee you, you know, you'll be encouraged by what the Lord is doing. You know, it's a tough world out there, but we're doing everything that we can to give a place for kids, give a place for churches, a place for, you know, anyone to come out and escape, reconnect with Christ. We share the gospel with kids, and we disciple believers at all ages. There's so much side ministry that goes on with camp. And I could tell you, you know, story after story of just lives changed because of stinky horses and broken boats and, you know, all of those things that come together to really bring people to Christ. So I've got a video, just kind of, if you want to play that. Let's do that commercial. That one's fun. Let's do the commercial. So many things are happening there. We also have a really good time. Luckily, that's part of the job. So I get to, you know, we work hard. You know, we're out straight, you know, most of the year to make these things happen and to make it possible for people to come in and relax and, you know, get to know Christ. There's so many, you know, people that make this happen. There's the supporting churches, there's the volunteers and the people that work in the summer, there's the counselors, and there's so many people just praying for camp. Your support, your prayer, your, you know, involvement is truly impacting a lot of people. The summer before, you know, COVID, we had over 60 kids come to know Christ for the very first time, and a lot of them are signing back up for camp. We had over 112 kids, you know, dedicate their lives, you know, rededicate their lives for Christ. We've had, and that was just in one summer. And, you know, so many things have happened, you know, since then. You know, we're really trying to work a lot with the foster kids in the area. That's something we have a lot of them come in the summer, and we do a lot of work to make it just a great experience for them. And just because summer's over doesn't mean that they don't go away. So that's why we're trying to do a continuation of things throughout the year. You know, had COVID not, you know, impacted so much, you know, we would have been having more homeschool groups were planned out. Family camps are in the works. You know, more winter retreats, all of those types of things. We have a group coming in in 2 weeks. I was just down at their church. They're in southern Maine in Elliott, so right almost New Hampshire. And they come each year with their teenagers and do a special retreat where they can talk about kind of things that teenagers need to know about in a more relaxed environment. And a lot of these kids go on to, you know, do some great things. I have a good relationship with that pastor, and I kind of know some of the stories. But God is at work more than just what you see in these videos, more than all that. You know, God is at work. Don't let COVID get you down. Don't let, you know, the news, the politics, you know, all that. God is going to use whatever's happening in this world. He doesn't change. He's the rock. He's had a plan since the very beginning, all the way back before we, you know, sinned in Genesis. So just like Pastor John said, you know, governments come and go, politics change, you know, people come and go, but God has been there forever. You know, he's our rock. And if we look to him, you know, he'll do what he wants to do, and we get to take part in it. So I'll be in the back. If you have any questions, you know, I'd love to answer those for you, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for just churches like this one that are still meeting and still serving you despite the fact that it's not easy, and the world is putting so much pressure, making people feel guilty about serving you when we know it's the right thing, we know you love us, we know that's the truth and the answer. I just pray that we can continue to be strong, that those that love you and serve you, that instead of being driven apart by the world, that we're driven together and we're refined and we get closer to you. I just thank you so much for these brothers and sisters that support this ministry and so many others, that they can be a light to the world right here and all the way around the world. And I just thank you for that. I pray for everyone that's here, just that you'll bless them and just honor the dedication that they have for you. Just help them to be the neighbors they need to be, the husbands and wives they want to be, the fathers, the mothers, and just give them that strength and encouragement to know that despite all the challenges, you're alive and at work. And I just pray all these things in